Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. It's Watt Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. I'm recording a new one. Well, I actually recorded one this morning, but it sounded freaking horrible. I sounded so damn incoherent that I figured after an 8-hour shift, 8 to 9 hour shift, some coffee, some liquids, I'd be a little better. So if I'm clearing my throat, forgive me, I have some chest congestion. But let's take a look at the weekend that was of college football. Wednesday I should be recording a podcast for the North Carolina game, and you know, Pat Narduzzi's press conference, and supposedly said some zingers that, well, one in particular that's sending people off. And what's funny was, is when I did this podcast earlier today, I touched on it, that if one thing that's really held Pitt back against North Carolina the last few meetings has been, you know, Mitch Trubisky and how good he was. And, you know, how good he was last year to bring him back and so on and so forth. And, you know, obviously he made a comment that's, you know, that basically said, you know, if they don't have Trubisky, they don't beat us. And that's the truth. I mean, I'm not saying he's being cocky, but that's pretty much the truth. If they don't have Trubisky, they don't beat Pitt at all. But Trubisky's gone. North Carolina sucks. So this is an opportunity right now for Pat Narduzzi to put his money where his mouth is and beat the Tar Heels. I wanted to say beat the assholes, but, well, I just didn't. But there you go. So here you go. Put your money where your mouth is. Take care of them. All right. Starting off, well, obviously one of the big stories from the weekend is the Big Ten going down in flames in terms of the college football playoff. Ohio State got its second loss in terms of getting destroyed by Iowa, which was a shocker. But playing Iowa isn't easy to do. You know, Iowa's a scrappy team. They're going to give you a hard time. Offensively, they may not be a big of a threat because they don't get all those players Ohio State does, or Penn State or whoever, or Michigan for that matter. But what's great about Ferentz is that he may have some really down years, but then the team, you know, and you think that Ferentz is done, and that, you know, his window's gone, time to look for a new coach, some younger blood, and out of nowhere, his team's just come out of nowhere and they just do stuff like this. And if you think about it, they should be at Penn State, and if they would have held on, good Lord, they would have only one loss total, and we'd be talking about them, you know, possibly for big, you know, for contending for the Big Ten title game. But I mean, that's just one thing to factor in. I mean, people always factor out Iowa, but Ferentz just come, you know, these teams just come out of nowhere and they do it. But you know, I think with Ohio State, they try to out finesse Iowa, which is something you really can't do against Iowa. You can't finesse Iowa. Iowa's tough and physical. You finesse them, they're just gonna knock you around. They're gonna bully you, and that's what they did pretty much. You know, early in the game, they pick off JT Barrett, and that was that. It was a pick six, and that pretty much the tone for the rest of the game. And pretty much it was going to be a long day for Ohio State. And if they didn't get together, that's pretty much what was going to happen, and they never got together. As pretty much game was over after the first half. They weren't no part of Iowa. Now, Penn State, different story. I mean, I was amazed at Penn State early in the game because they just have so many different ways to beat you, especially in the passing game. I mean, different guys just step up on their team. But Saquon Barkley's Heisman hopes pretty much went down in flames over the weekend as well. And I'm not sure what it is, but I know talking to some of my Penn State, alumnus buddies, they don't like Joe Moorhead, and they don't think that his offensive philosophies really translate well in the Big Ten. I mean, they throw the ball pretty good. You know, you got that. But I think, in terms of Saquon Barkley, it just doesn't seem like they're doing much with him right now that they should be. I mean, in terms of getting the ball into his hands, I mean, it's a read option as their offense. And there just doesn't seem to be much imagination. I mean, if you put Saquon Barkley in like a pit offense, like a pro style, I bet you his numbers are a lot better than what they would be right now with Penn State. I mean, there were some games where Barkley's numbers weren't great, and it's because the team sucked. And when he did get the ball, he was explosive, but there was no need to feed him the rock 30 times. But if you put him in Pitt's offense, he's probably gonna have a lot more rushing yards. I just don't think they're doing much with him. And watching that game, it seemed like they just abandoned the run and they were just throwing the ball all over the place. And Sparty, they didn't run the ball that great either, and they took advantage of some wrinkles in Penn State's defense that got exposed. And I thought Penn State was going to win that game, especially with that drop pass near the goal line for Michigan State and then an interception next play. But Penn State started driving, and I thought it was it. But then they had a 4th-and-3, and they called a pass. It was a slant. They throw a slant, and it went over the receiver's head. And I'm thinking to myself, it's 4th-and-3. You can't give it to your Heisman candidate running back. Let him take care of it. But basically, with Penn State, they pretty much, the schedule got tougher, and that's pretty much what happened. And that's perception. That's what the perception is going to be. Is they were a top team until they got, until things got tougher. I mean, I was penciling them in already as a playoff team. And obviously that didn't work out too well for me. Glad I didn't bet anything on that. So, Big Ten's in flames. Pac-12 is pretty much already in flames. So, that does that. ACC still holding on with Clemson. And Clemson, beat NC State. And supposedly there's like a big some big controversy involved with that. I guess a laptop on the sideline. I don't know. I care less about NC State. Screw them. Especially with some of the arrogant comments from them. Notre Dame is still rolling. They beat Wake Forest. And Tech and Miami was another one. I thought Miami would be a likely win for Pitt. A likely game Pitt may have a chance of winning. And that went out the water. Miami came out and just took care of business. All of a sudden, it's one of those old-fashioned, Miami Virginia Tech games, and where it's a slugfest, and Miami took it to them. I mean, back in the Big East, in the late Big East days, before all the expansion stuff, those two would have slugfests. And Miami held the advantage for a good bit, and then Tech took advantage of it. Their final year in the Big East, Tech won that last meeting, and then when it went to the ACC, Tech pretty much won a whole bunch more over Miami. The program surpassed Miami. And obviously, Baker Mayfield and Oklahoma is now the new flavor of the month. As they beat up Oklahoma State. Well, they didn't beat them up. They won by 3. Oklahoma State had a chance to win at the end and just didn't do it. So I'm not sure what Oklahoma has left, but obviously, people want to pencil them in now in the playoff. There's two SEC teams in the playoff right now in the top four, but one of them's going to be gone here, in a few weeks when they have those conference championships. I wasn't buying Georgia early in the year, and they've just, hey, I'll tip my hat to them as well. They're doing pretty well. Yeah, I'm not sure what happens to TCU. You know, if it's between Oklahoma and TCU, pollsters will always pull for Oklahoma because the rich always get richer. But closing out, hopefully, wrapping down, that pretty much wraps up, I call it, what happened, the weekend that was college football. Pitt basketball had their exhibition. They beat Slippery Rock. And, of course, the big thing was the score early in the game. Slippery Rock had control of the game early. And then Pitt obviously came back and won. And you got some people to say, well, Slippery Rock missed some shots. Pitt got lucky. There was a few people like that. So you got a handful of petty Pitt fans who are still upset over what happened. With their savior leaving Pitt to go back to TCU, so you have that pain is still approaching, and it's going to get even worse as the season goes because Pitt's going to start losing games and they're going to take pleasure in it like they always do, bunch of fucking losers. Sorry, excuse my language, but it just is what it is. And of course, the Pitt women lost IUP, and I don't know. There's been a lot. Pitt women's basketball just is what it is. I mean, they had a handful of good years with Agnes, and it took a lot of work for Agnes to get Pitt women there. But she lost the whole recruiting class, and then that was it for her. And Susie McConnell-Serio is trying to grab it back, and in her second year, she came back in the tournament, but, Brenna Wise left, and basically Brenna pretty much wants to play for a championship team, and that's why she left. Usually when you build programs, you're going to have really good players that become sacrificial lambs where they play for crappy teams, because that's just how it goes. She wanted to be one of those people, and that's just that. And who knows, she may not have been one of those people. But that's what she wanted. But hey, hope it works out. Anyways, you got those. Closing out, I'll talk about the Astros a bit. Basically, for what happened the last, the team itself, granted, the last 2 years, 2 years ago with Houston, you had the oil and gas bubble pop, where the gas prices just sank down, and which was great, but then a lot of oil and gas companies started slashing their jobs. Because I remember when I first moved to Houston, I worked for an oil and gas company, and they told me basically that, when I would pump my gas, and I saw the gas prices were up, I was supposed to smile at them because that was what was driving projects, driving jobs, everything, the high gas prices. And, the bubble eventually popped. And a lot of companies just, they had to cut jobs, a lot of jobs. The thing is, a lot of these companies, they were just living off the gas prices. That was it. They weren't getting new business or doing new ventures. They were just living off of the work from those from whatever the gas prices were driving them. They just had a lot of work with the same projects. That was it. They weren't getting any new work and new business. That's really that's all it was. A lot of these companies just weren't proactive. A lot of times in the oil and gas companies, they overhire and they overpay. And that's why a lot of people love working in oil and gas, because the salaries are much bigger. And it happens. And I remember having a conversation with a lady, and she told me she wanted to find a new job. This is before the bubble popped, or was about to pop. And she said that, she wanted to go somewhere more stable. And I said, what industry you want to go into? Maybe I have some connections. Maybe I can help you. She said, I want to stay in oil and gas. And I told her, you said it's not stable. And she said that she knows, but the pay is so much better. Yeah. But, that's the thing. With Texas being an at-will, state, pretty much they can just cut you just like that. They don't have to give you notice. They can just walk in. They just walk in and tell you to pack your stuff up. That's just how it goes. But anyways, you had that, and plus you had what happened with Harvey, and there's a lot of people that are still living in hotels. I have a coworker who lives in a hotel right now with him and his wife. So there are a lot of people that are still displaced. So what this Astros team did was they provided a distraction, kind of like how the Steelers provided one for the city when they were when the steel industry was leaving and jobs were leaving. Times were crappy, but getting crappy and getting crappier. But at least the football team provided them something that gave them something to cheer about. Wow. Excuse me. People just on the concept of turning arrows when they're gone. So, game six, people thought it was in the bag. And I thought to myself, this is going to really suck if they lose this game and they lose the series, because this season's going to be crushing so many of these fans. But the team pulled through, and I remember, it was late. I remember pulling my son out of the bed, although he was half awake anyway. And I remember letting him watch the final inning, and I waited till it was all said and done, because I didn't want to pull him out and then have the Astros choke, because then I'd have to hear about it for the rest of my life. But we sat, we watched the game, and the rest of the game, and the celebrations, everything. It was great. My dad and I had World Series tickets for the Pirates 3 years in a row, and of course it never happened. So I never really got the experience, World Series, Pirates World Series, at least with my dad. But at least my son, me and him got to experience the Astros. Because moving here, I pretty much adopted the Houston teams, and although I'm still a Steelers fan, I still, I still like the Pens. I've always loved the Pens. It's just I don't follow hockey as much as I used to, because there's no hockey here. It's all basketball, football, and baseball. And even the sports talk guys here don't even openly admit they know nothing about hockey, which makes it even worse. So, yeah, that. But in the end of the day, it was a happy ending. People, were ecstatic. And, for me, for me, this was probably a more surreal moment to be in, more so than the two Stanley Cups I saw as a kid and the one before I left Pittsburgh. And, of course, the two Super Bowls back, the Steelers won not too long ago. Those were great, but this was, just, I don't know what it was. Maybe because it was the World Series, it was Houston's first championship in baseball. Or it was just what happened the last two months, with seeing everybody, with everybody, dealing with what they have to deal with, and a lot of them are still living that nightmare. But at least they have this feel-good ending, and it brought the city together. Because, as the Astros end, you know, there's the Texans, and they're just a pile of, you know, they're just a dumpster fire right now, and you have the Rockets, and the Rockets will go to the playoffs, but they'll get to this first or second round and they'll choke. They'll have an easy first round opponent, and then they'll get to the second round and blow it. But anyways, you'll see it back probably on Wednesday. I'll talk North Carolina about all the fun things ahead. I guess, you know, those matchups, and of course the weekend of college football that's going to be upon us. So it's going to be fun, like it always is. And it's crazy that this regular season for college football is almost over. I mean, well, bowl season, but still, it's just going too fast anymore. But I'll stop babbling. Head up it.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.